broadcasting from a transmitter as powerful as a hairdryer. Hey, we got it on high. This is Live 95, Cullman's Independent Radio, WRJMLP, Cullman.
Welcome to Prep Sports Live here on Cullman's Live 95. We are Cullman's Independent Sports Radio, aren't we?
It's Cullman's Independent Intergalactic Sports Radio.
You had to be there to get the joke. We hoped you were there for Cold Springs versus Summerton Christian, but it is Tuesday, so a whole new week of football action this week. Dylan Deamer, Chris Greer in with us, as well as Josh Lawler. And our phone line is open if you want to call it and talk about anything from this week of football, 256-734-9505. The lines are open.
737-9505. Editor's got it correct.
Oh, yep. Editor comment.
The help might have done it wrong. I don't know. We'll see.
256-737-9505 is a call.
There we go.
So what's the game of the week this week?
We got that corrected.
Got it there. Okay, yeah.
Hang on. Before we get that far. Hang on. Let me see.
How you guys doing?
Doing great.
Hey, welcome to the show, Josh. Glad you made it.
Yeah, curving it in. I mean, just slinging stuff around, but I'm here.
So everybody's buckled in and ready to go?
Yeah.
Sure.
Hey,
that's right. Let's
do the official announcement of the game of the week.
Live 95 is your home for Friday Night Live.
As they fake it, and he's going to get the first down, and then some. No, he's going to break all the way, and he'll be pushed out of bounds at the Mortimer Jordan 30-yard line. That was number 5, Jimmy Charlie.
Each week, Friday Night Live features the best in Cullman County High School football.
And he's going to throw, heaves it out to 27.
Oh, he got it.
Cullman touchdown.
He's going to sneak it in.
Number 27, Ezra Burks. How about that one?
This week, the Good Hope Raiders look to remain undefeated as they host the Oak Grove Tigers in a key 4A Region 5 battle. Join Dylan Diebert and Josh Lawler every Friday night for Friday Night Live. Listen live every Friday night here on Live 95 or tune in anywhere in the world via the TuneIn Radio app. Just search WRJMLP Cullman or stream at www.live95cullman.com. Friday Night Live, this Friday night here on Live 95, Cullman's Independent Radio.
Folks, you heard that right. From James Schaible Stadium, we will be this Friday for Good Hope versus Oak Grove as Alan Scott's team looks to continue to be undefeated. And we saw an undefeated team last week at Cold Springs, and they're going to go on the road and play Aliceville.
I was very impressed by that Cold Springs team. Very, very solid, very old school, if that makes sense.
Yeah. I don't know if my mic is even on, or maybe I'm – there we go.
There
now
we
are
go.
Coming into my ears. I like that. great job, everyone in the back booth, by the way, on the advertisement there. It was really good. I was worried it was just going to be like all Dylan.
I was
where
pretty happy.
Dylan
was pretty awesome.
So next week we'll use Chris's soundbite about the intergalactic part.
Okay, let's not talk about the A-gap.
The A-hole. That's yes. Right. Yeah.
So what actually happened there, you know, Tommy did the production on that.
Yeah.
And I didn't even know he was going to do as much
oh,
as
really?
He did on that. Like, that
nice.
Was a surprise to me. And he suggested that I kind of, you know, knock y'all over the head with it, which I thought worked out pretty well.
I liked
well.
It. And Tommy, if you're listening, good job, man.
The only downside is Tommy's so busy doing PA work at Cullman High School that he wasn't aware that we had kind of invited Chris Greer into the mix.
Yeah.
So.
That's okay. Next week, Chris will be in it. 100%. So now you get the heads up to make some type of really big, boisterous saying.
Absolutely.
Right?
Maybe
we'll the humanity or something like that.
Yeah, and we'll have another Michael Jackson at running back.
So we'll wind up with three commentators looking for an Oscar-winning performance next week if you're tuning in to Friday Night Lights. But, yeah, great game last week. Really, really close there for a little while, and we saw it. You just get away from them. But it seems like Summerton Christian, everybody Summerton Christians play, they've got one for the stat books.
Right.
So that's no different. I think they're on the list playing somebody this week. Well, I mean, obviously they're playing somebody this week. But I don't know if it was Coleman or not, Coleman County School. But we'll get into that a little bit later. We wanted to cover a little bit of last week's games maybe, talk about any of those. There were a lot of blowouts.
Yeah,
this last week.
Not very many close ball games.
No.
The one that we were at, Cold Springs versus Summerton Christian, got away from them. Summerton Christian has got some pieces in place, but until they can get that quarterback, center exchange down pat, they're going to struggle.
Well, and you really can't blame it, which I know we're supposed to be talking about Coleman County Schools, but we're going to talk about Summerton Christian for a little bit. At 21 guys, technically 22, but one was injured or sitting out for whatever reason, and that's tough to fight with. I mean, we saw the opening tackle from Summerton Christian made by their quarterback.
Right.
That's crazy to me.
Well, and to me, it seemed like you're taking a square peg and you're trying to pound it through
Absolutely.
A round hole.
Absolutely.
You know, if you don't have the personnel, don't play a spread.
Yeah.
You know, if what you've got is the people to run the option, run the option.
Yeah. Exactly. And I think we did see a lot of struggling from that center.
Yeah, definitely.
Between the quarterback and the center, communication was not there in that first quarter, and it kind of improved into the second quarter. But then it seems like after halftime, he forgot what he was doing.
Right.
And I think maybe after that, they just kind of went ahead and swapped centers or something.
Maybe the game got into his head. That's really what I'm thinking.
That's entirely possible. I mean, it got a little bit punchy out there at times. There was a lot of extracurricular activity.
Ain't that the truth?
But when you've got young men, of that age with – and I don't mean to get all – scientific on it, but you've got raging testosterone.
Oh, gosh,
right.
And you put them in a position where you're basically going to battle with somebody, sometimes things are going to get a little bit
out of control. Everybody's running on emotions there. And that's really neat that we like high school football so much. Maybe that has a part in it, right?
Right.
So, anyhow, next week's games look pretty good.
Yeah, they really do. I've got our game of the week, Good Hope and Oak Grove.
Yeah.
The key game of the week for the county teams is Hanceville at Vonmore, as the two 3A five Region 5 teams go head-to-head at Vonmont. And in attendance that game will be Trent Richardson, formerly of the Crimson Tide.
Really?
Really?
And the Indianapolis Colts. And
I think he had a cup of coffee in the Canadian Football League,
too.
He did. Unless I'm mistaken, he is signed on with the new team in Birmingham, is he not?
He is.
Who do you see in that Vinemont game? I mean, what would your pick be for that?
That will be my toss-up, actually.
Really?
Because
Vinemont being your alma.
Yeah, that is my alma mater, but you look at Hanceville, coming out the gate against Summerton Christian and kind of putting up a fight against Holly Pond last week as well.
Yeah.
For the first part of it, now they kind of got away from them as the Broncos kind of stampeded with that one.
Right.
Well, and also, I believe Hanceville had some serious problems with Pennington.
Right. Oh, yeah.
And Pennington is a school now. I mean, I live in Bluntsville. I've been to several Pennington games. I have friends who play on the team, kids that I've known and worked with a little bit. And they're a team that doesn't have it all together.
Right.
So, Pennington's one of those kind of flashy teams that you might beat them by 40 points one week, and the same team the next week is going to lose by three touchdowns to them.
Right.
So I'm kind of eager to see what Hanceville does and what they have, and Vinemont's going to be a real test.
Well, that's something we talk about on sideline every week, is you really don't know which team's going to show up. If somebody's had a bad day, especially if they're a star player, it could go either way. But in my research for that game, I actually picked Vinemont just because Hansville's 1-3. Vinemont's not too much better. They're 2-2. But that really bad win to Pennington really persuaded me. I'm like,
right.
It's one thing to lose to a blowout, but to let someone run 71 points on you is tough.
Right.
You know, you don't see that anywhere else.
Well, to me, I think the big thing is consistency.
Mm-hmm.
When you start talking about these teams like Good Hope that are, you know, undefeated.
Right.
They might not be the greatest athletes in the world, but what they are is they're consistent.
Mm-hmm. Right. Mm-hmm. And Good Hope's looking like, you know, so to speak, Alabama out there.
Right.
Keeping these big lead advantage games,
yeah,
not allowing too many points. And this is what, I mean, look at last week, Good Hope 32-0 against Tanner. And then weeks before, they're just blowing these teams out, double-digit leads.
Yeah, my comments on the Good Hope game specifically were that it should be a runaway train for the Raiders because Oak Grove are 0-4 on the season, and their averages as far as points, they're averaging 8 points, 4, and allowing 49 on average. Yeah, it's pretty bad.
Well, you know, looking at what Good Hope has done on the season, they've only had one game where it was even close, where it was in the ballpark, and that was the opening game against Carbon Hill. Mm-hmm. You know, against Priceville, against Cordova, against Tanner, it was just like you said, it was a runaway.
Yep.
How bad could it get this week with these two teams? I mean, this might be a statement game for Good Hope where they kind of put themselves on the map and tell the people that are making the rankings, it's time you look at us.
Yeah, definitely, definitely. And I didn't get that. Max Preps is where I do a lot of my research, and they list the state rankings at the top of that page, but I didn't screen cap any of that. But, yeah, I mean, it just crazy numbers. So, Mate obviously was Good Hope by a mile, but they're going to do one of two things on Friday night. It's going to be they're either going to pat the stat book pretty hard, or they're going to give some of the underclassmen a shot at some seat time, which either way is beneficial for the team.
Absolutely. And
yeah, state rank 143.
I expect that's going to move up this week.
Oh, definitely.
When you get to this point in the season, you know, and unbeaten start to fall off, you can climb the rankings in a hurry.
Mm-hmm.
But on the flip side of that coin, you can drop down the rankings just as fast.
Yeah, I mean, you're talking week five. The fact that they're still around after four games is awesome, because we're looking at some teams that are into their week five will be their third week in regional play for some
right,
of them.
Right. And how many teams in Coleman County are unbeaten?
Two. And that's
yeah,
it.
Just
yeah.
two.
Yeah, just two. So a lot of regional games. I think there's one non-region games. Okay, so we talked about Good Hope. We talked about the Hansville game a little bit. Just to go back to the Hansville game real quick, Hansville, Vinemont. Although I think that Vinemont will win, I think that will be a fun game to keep up with as we do sideline, just because Hansville's approaching that mindset that Summerton Christian was in last week,
right,
where it's we're almost to the point where we don't have anything to lose, right?
Yes.
So they're just trying all sorts of weird stuff, and something may work, right? So.
Well, if you throw enough things at the wall, sooner or later something's going to stick.
Absolutely. So, yeah, the Holly Pond game is against Fultondale, and it's a regional game as well. And
the only game I see that is non-regional right now is Coleman at Albertville.
Yes, and that's going to be a really close game, because comparing those two schools earlier today,
right?
I mean, I really don't know which way it's going to go. You know,
that's always a close one every season.
Yes.
Coleman going to Albertville, Albertville coming to us.
Let's see.
Always a close one.
I've got that on the list here somewhere. Yeah. Coleman with a big win over Columbia last week. So that's got to feel good to them, right?
Right.
I talked to some of the parents from that game, and you know, they parent JV players, and they're dressing these guys out for the varsity games too. And those kids got in last Friday night.
Oh, that's great.
Yeah, it was awesome for them. Got to be kind of scary at the same time. But anytime that you get such a lead that you're literally pulling, you know, what is it, ninth grade is right on that cusp of varsity
yes.
JV. Pulling ninth graders up in play is awesome.
Well, that's how you build a strong program.
Mm-hmm.
When you take a young athlete and you put him up against people who are older than him,
yeah,
he is going to, in the short term, he might struggle.
Mm-hmm.
But in the long term, it's going to pay big dividends and big benefits.
Right. And I think that you're sitting here watching this game go on, and it's a blowout or a shutout, whatever it is, mm-hmm. you're letting these players get in and get their opportunity to shine.
Right.
Against
right.
a team that's still probably putting their best players out there
right.
to put up the fight against. So yeah. we probably saw some of this at Summerton Christian. We probably saw some of this probably last week at West Point or at Lawrence County, West Point, Lawrence County.
It didn't hit me until I was doing my research today because, like I said, they had told me this week that you know JV got to play, but then I looked back at that score and it was 48-8. So even with the JV guys in there, they still only held them to single digits, which was cool. But to look towards Albertville, another Aggies team, by the way, we still have no idea what an Aggie is, but yeah.
And this time they have kind of like that, their logo is like a spear kind of logo.
Yep.
Like the trying to think of what that kind of like the Arizona State one.
Oh yeah. With because isn't it, what is Arizona
the Sun State? Devils.
Sun Devils. That's right. But the interesting fact about the Albertville game is that the Aggie defense has only allowed 8 points at home. So they've had both of their wins came from home games, and they shut out one team. I don't think I kept their schedule. They shut out one team, and the other only scored 8 points on them. Now they lost big time to one on the road, but Coleman's going over there, so it'll be interesting to see how that one plays out.
Yeah, it would be.
I'd like to give a little bit of love to a team. We were speaking about younger players playing mm-hmm. and how that develops them, and it made me think back to my old high school.
Yeah.
And just across the county line in Morgan County, mm-hmm. The Hartsell Tigers are currently ranked number 7 in the state in 6A. They are undefeated. And their next game coming up is going to be at Briarwood Christian. Excellent program, right up the road. I can't wait for the Coleman-Hartsell game. That's always a game to watch.
October 19th, yeah, that one's going to be in Hartsell too.
I might have to go to that game.
We might have to go to that game as game of the week. We might have to.
You know, I would love that. I've certainly played quite a bit in that stadium, but I've never been in the press box. So
interesting, and I've never been up that way whatsoever. So that'll be an adventure for me if we wind up going that route.
Right. Well, I know where the good restaurants are. So.
Hey, there we go. We were talking about that this week, and I know all of y'all saw that, but we were talking about plans and getting stuff in order, and I'm thinking, this conversation is too much to not be eating over it, so we need to work on that. But yeah, the Coleman-Albertville will be a fun game to watch, just because Coleman's been all over the place. Close win over Jasper in the last couple of seconds, and then a close loss to Mortimer Jordan, which we were at and watched.
Right.
And then they were blown out to
Decatur, that was.
Yep. Blown out by Decatur before turning around last week and then running right through Columbia. And like I said, getting all those kids to play. So my pick is Coleman, but it's going to be one that we'll watch all the way to the fourth quarter.
Well, you know, when you look at the two teams that beat Coleman, you know, these are some really quality football programs.
Sure.
It's not like they got beat by somebody that was 0-3.
No.
You know, they got beat by good teams. So how good is this Coleman team? You know, we're just not sure yet.
Yeah. And like you said, you look at strength of schedule is something that's mentioned on the Thursday broadcast. It's mentioned on ESPN. But really, it funnels all the way back down to the high school level. And Coleman's got a really strong schedule.
Oh, they do. I'm looking at it right now. You've got Albertville. Then you've got Hueytown coming up.
Yeah.
That's always going to be a hard game.
Hueytown is super tough. And then they've got
Athens. Muscle Shoals.
Yep.
Then it's Hartsell and Fort Payne.
Yep. I mean, none of those teams are a gimme.
Yep.
You know, all of those teams are going to be tough opponents.
Yeah. So looking at some of these other ones, we've got who else have we got? We've got the Holly Pond Fultondale game. Have we talked about that one? That's another regional game.
Now this Fultondale team has usually come up here and blown out these teams.
Oh, really?
We saw them last year at Vinemont blow out Vinemont and 46-6 final score of that one. And usually these inner city Birmingham area, Jefferson County schools usually do the best. We'll talk about some more games in just a little bit because we've got plenty of games to talk about this week. Not to mention more about our game of the week right here on Prep Sports Live as we continue in just a little bit.
Hey, Coleman, it's almost October, and that means it's time for Coleman's Oktoberfest. Come check it out Monday, October the 1st, through Saturday, October the 6th, and come celebrate our German heritage. Activities for the whole family are taking place right in the middle of downtown Coleman at the Coleman Fest Hall Marketplatz. From Monday through Wednesday, enjoy German music each morning by Wolfgang Moritz. Starting Tuesday at lunch, 30-day catering will be serving up a German meal starting at about 10:30. And as the week progresses, enjoy music by Terry Cavanaugh and the Alpine Express. The car show, arts and crafts, kids areas, 5K and 10K runs, German food, music, dancing, the pickle eating contest, and the stein hoisting contests. And hey, even on select days, your very own Live 95 will be on site broadcasting live. Come by and see us. To get more information on the events taking place downtown, visit Facebook.com, the Coleman Oktoberfest page there, or visit ColemanOktoberfest.com for the complete schedule. Coleman Oktoberfest, a Coleman tradition.
Happy Homes Real Estate is proud to sponsor Friday Night Live on Live 95. If you're looking to buy or sell a home, the team at Happy Homes Real Estate wants to go to work for you today. After all, they're the top producing agency in Coleman. And I bet if you ride around town this weekend, you'll see open house signs all over Coleman for Happy Homes Real Estate. For property management, buying, or selling a home, the team at Happy Homes Real Estate wants to go to work for you. Happy Homes Real Estate, where they believe every home should be a happy home.
Are you new to Live 95? Did you know Live 95 has a sports talk program? Check out what you've been missing.
We need to put out our own post.
That's absolutely. It makes just as much sense. So there you go.
Oh, and Jeffrey Sullins texted in, I agree, Auburn should have scored way more than they did. 5 field goals in the red zone. So,
and that's defense,
Ronnie,
boys.
Runny, it's...
And do you watch pro football? Yeah. Do they not run up down the field? Okay. Yes, they do. What happens when they get inside the 20? A lot of field goals kicked.
A lot, but a lot of times they cash it in. Auburn should have been cashing them in.
Maybe they just didn't have... Maybe
it wasn't defense, it was offense.
They just didn't have enough studs in the stable up front to get it done.
I have to agree. I got tired of watching field goals. I wanted them to run it on in.
They couldn't. They tried.
Playing too safe.
I mean, they just didn't quit.
Playing too safe. Playing not to lose instead of playing to win.
I tell you, they won't get an opportunity to put 44 up this year.
No, they won't. They will put 44 up.
They won't put more than 20.
I will bet you 4 steak dinners right now Auburn scores more than 20.
Nope, won't happen.
We got a bet.
We got it.
All right. I've got people listening as my witness.
Auburn will not score over 20 points this year against Alabama.
Ronnie, the music's playing. Means it's time for a break. I have just earned me 4 steak dinners. Compliments of Ronnie Barnes. So we'll be right back. Sports Talk Live.
Season 5. Wow. Jason Spiegel and Ronnie Barnes are here each and every Thursday at 4 to discuss each week's games on Sports Talk Live, right here on Coleman's independent radio station, Live 95.
We've spent a lot of time on this. The investigation is finally over. We uncovered several leads, and we have finally found it. We have found what every small business in Coleman has been looking for. Fiber optic quality internet is here. Utilizing cutting edge radio technology, Cyber Broadband is now able to offer fiber optic quality internet in the immediate downtown Coleman area and most Coleman industrial parks. More information is available by calling Cyber Broadband 256-734-1077, 256-734-1077, or on the web at cyberbroadband.net.
Welcome back to Prep Sports Live here on Coleman's Live 95. Dylan Diemer, Chris Greer, and Josh Lawler are introducing here today. Tommy Warhurst, you should know his voice. The voice of the Coleman Bearcats.
Appreciate you guys letting me just walk it off the street. Jay said he sent invitations out for anybody to come in and talk about prep sports, and the afternoon was free, so here we are.
Excellent, excellent. We're glad you took us up on this, on it, and anybody else listening out there that maybe has cold feet, Tommy's made it in here, so it must not be too bad, right?
That's right.
But go ahead.
No, go ahead. I say you guys were talking prep sports. We've got Good Hope
and Oak Grove this week. Mm-hmm. And did I hear you correctly, Dylan? You said Oak Grove is winless?
They are winless, yes.
And here Good Hope is on a winning streak. What a change for the Raiders.
Right, and Good Hope really kind of playing strong. They're just playing double-digit leads over these teams, except for the, you know, a little bit with Carbon Hill, that was. Kind of playing like the Alabama of Coleman County teams in a way, with these just double-digit blowouts they've been having. And I think they're keeping up some kind of fight here, and I think we're going to see them probably go at least, if you look at the schedule for them.
Yeah, they've got Northside and Haleville, and then at Curry, I believe.
Fayette County is going to be a tough game.
That's always a tough one for them, yeah. I've noticed, is Fayette County here.
They're going to get into the meat of their region. But Coach Scott is—he's pretty high on his guys. You know, this is his fifth year there now, I believe.
I believe so.
And he's gotten his program in, his discipline, his offense, and his guys, and he's got them on a roll so far.
I'm interested to see. You know, Oak Grove is only their second regional game, so maybe it's a small fish. Or big fish, small pond kind of thing. Maybe not. I don't know. Maybe that's the story we'll follow come game of the week. So we'll be out there.
Well, and after that Oak Grove game, Josh, they have an open date on the 28th. So they've got some time to kind of rest up, heal up, and then they get into the meat of that regional schedule where they play four in a row. You know, I'm looking at the schedule, and whoever put the schedule together, they did a pretty good job because, you know, placing that bye week where it's at, I mean, you can't really position that much better.
No. And you've gotten the start of the season nerves out of the way.
Sure.
And everybody's starting to understand how things work. So I think that's pretty neat. And you really see that's what they were planning for, because all of their offensive totals come out to be, you know, 47 against Priceful, and then 43 against Cordova, and then 32 against Tanner. You know, I'm sure if they had a little bit more time on the clock, they could have gotten into the 40s one more time. You know?
Right.
So I like to see that from a football team. Consistency is what makes things interesting for me. That's why I like pro ball probably better than any of this, is because, you know, every year you're getting the same guy back for the most part, and a little bit of consistency. But
and for me, it's just the opposite. It's
opposite, yeah.
It's looking at young kids coming up and the coaches that can find the right buttons to push at each of these individuals to get the most out of them.
Exactly. Right.
You know, you're going to have some of your great athletes on a team, but on a team you may have three or four really good athletes, and the rest of them you're bringing kids up and having them play above their potential in a sense.
Right.
You're coaching them up and you're getting more out of them. That's what's the fun part to see to me. You take a group of guys who may never strap the shoulder pads or the helmet on after high school, and you get the most you can get out of those guys.
Yeah.
And something else, you know, from the high school level, and I was fortunate enough to be able to play at the collegiate level. When you're at the high school level, team is so important. When you take that next step up, everybody's a stud. Everybody's a hoss, and they will absolutely knock your head off. But when you're at high school, you know, at the high school level, you have to have all your guys playing together, because if you don't, you're going to get beat.
Yeah.
You know, and just like you said, the coach has to know what buttons to push. Mm-hmm. You know, and getting in one kid's face, you know, and screaming at him, that might work. But on the next kid, you've got to put your arm around him and say, hey, man, come on, you can do this.
Right, right. That's really tough. I can't imagine being a coach at any level, let alone at the high school level, because as we were mentioning earlier, you've got that testosterone level in all of them. So if you go at that kid with the wrong mentality, whether it's maybe you're soft with the one that you're supposed to yell at, or you're yelling at the one you're supposed to be soft, you're liable to get a volatile reaction from either one of them.
Sure.
So I guess that is interesting.
That's what makes coaches so special to me, is they know which buttons to push and how to go about them. Because just like you said, you've got to wrap your arm around some, and some you got to grab the face mask. Or used to, you could grab the face mask.
Right. Those days
and really get on them. You know. That was back in the day.
Yeah. Leather helmets. Some people might have said that was a better day. You know, I may be one of those people.
I don't know. In some part onto that, I almost. The game is changing.
Yeah.
The game is changing
a
lot.
Big time.
I understand the safety aspect of it, but it can get to the point to where it's not the same anymore.
No.
Yeah. It can get to a point where you want to ask the officials, hey, why don't we just play two-hand touch?
Right.
Yeah. You know, because you don't want us to hit. And sometimes I understand the helmet-to-helmet collisions.
Yes.
You know, concussions are no joke.
Yeah.
And you don't want these kids, especially younger kids, getting the brain injuries. But at the same time, if a running back's running at you and you're going to tackle your shoulder with perfect form, and that running back ducks his head, now you've hit him helmet to helmet and right. you get a flag. You know, it's really hamstringing the defense a little bit, yeah. I think.
Well, it's on all sides of the ball because we saw it firsthand with the Summerton Christian Cold Springs game right. last week. They all but two-hand touched. I can't even remember which punter it was, who the penalty was called on, but I remember getting upset about it because it was like you're not rewarding those kids for sprinting as hard as they can towards that punter because they know if he gets it off without you touching it, you're going to wind up with a penalty. So don't dive. Don't at that point, why even run after right. him? You know. So it is changing the game and all the way up to the NFL level.
You're seeing that in some of your JV or your freshman games mm-hmm. where they don't punt. Yeah. It's almost like the Pee Wee ball where you just take the ball down the field 30 right. yards or 40 yards. They don't do live kickoffs.
Mm-hmm.
And even the extra points, the snapper, the holder, and the kicker are live. Everyone else is just there.
Yeah,
right.
And, you know, to an extent, we kicked off from Pee Wee all the way through.
Yeah. you trained kickers that way.
You're training kickers, and you're also training and molding the kids as they mm-hmm. move from ninth grader JV to varsity. Mm-hmm. You've got to practice and learn those things.
Right.
Unless
right.
they're going to stop doing all that live and
yeah, right.
just blitz it at the 25.
Well, and we joke, but that's been serious conversations before. Last year, the NFL had rule revisions, and one of them that they didn't go through with was to think about not doing point afters anymore. Because they claimed that it was boring football. I think they wound up actually moving it back to make it more interesting. But one of the options was, well, let's just make touchdowns 7 points and move on.
Well, here's an option, okay? You do the point after, mm-hmm. but you have to use a kicker who kicked at the University of Alabama.
Yeah, that's right.
And then it's, okay. it's a crapshoot, and you know anything can happen.
And we can only talk about college so long before Jay yells at us. But I was watching the game because Alabama in the first – couple of seconds had already developed a big enough lead that I didn't feel necessary to watch it.
Right.
But a buddy of mine says, you know, hey, they're this close. They're thinking about going for it. You know, what would you do? And we're talking back and forth. And I'm thinking, you give that kicker as many opportunities to practice in a real game as you can because Alabama is meme quality right now about how bad kickers are. So you let him practice all day, every day.
I think watching Alabama kickers has probably taken a couple of years off my life.
Definitely.
Just from the high blood pressure.
Right.
And there was one, I don't remember the guy's name. He was a couple of kickers ago, but it seemed like he was there for like 10 years. And it's like, come on, dude, you were there when, you know, when Curry was coaching.
Yeah,
he's like, why are you still here?
To me, was it Kiffin? Because I know it wasn't Kiffin. I remember it sounded like
Tiffin.
Lane Tiffin's son.
Yes, yeah. Because there was a coach and his name, I kept getting him confused. But I had that same thing. I'm like, this is an NFL kicker. Like, he's just doing 6 year senior at this point. Like,
right.
What's going on?
You know,
but
they actually have a term for people like that in college. It's called doctor.
Yeah, right.
He's working on his doctorate
in like business or something. But, you know, we were talking about consistency a minute ago. And to get back into the Holly Pond Fultondale game. Fultondale has been oddly consistent in their games. They come through and play two of their regionals, Pennington and Locust Fork. And both of those games finish exactly 35-6 win for Fultondale. They wound up losing to Maplesville in the season opener. But so they're on a two-game winning streak. Holly Pond's got to go to Fultondale.
That's a tough place
to
play.
It's going to be really tough.
And two, is it their quarterback again now who they're saying is, you know, Ardell Stewart, is that correct? Stewart, no, Stewart was the last name that came out of Fultondale, played at Alabama.
Oh, I don't know.
He was a quarterback at Fultondale, ended up playing a tight end.
Was it Ardarius Stewart?
Ardarius Stewart.
Yep.
Oh, yeah.
They say they've got a kid there now who reminds them of him.
No, really? That's not good.
You know, both of them came from Fultondale. But yeah, the thing that'll get Holly Pond at Fultondale will be the speed.
I'm changing my prediction right now. I'm going to go with Fultondale. I did have Holly Pond, and that it was going to be really close, really fun to watch. But I think I'm going to switch over.
Yeah. Well, you look at the last couple of games for Fultondale. You know, the Pennington game and then the Locust Fort game, neither of those were close.
No.
You know, each of those was a 29-point victory. Mm-hmm. You know, I mean, you held them to 6 points in each contest. I would have to pick Fultondale in that. As much as I hate to pick against Holly Pond,
right,
because I did live there for a little bit, I would have to go with Fultondale.
Yeah, and that was something that I had written down for Holly Pond, was that their strength of schedule seemed stronger, because even though it's two regional games, Pennington and Locust Fort, I'm having graduated from there in 2010, I'm pretty familiar with their program, and they've never been a great football school ever, right? Girls basketball is their thing. But and saying that, I played on the boys basketball team, and girls basketball has always been their thing. But so you only score 35 points on a Locust Fort team that struggles that hard, and I start to doubt, you know, can you keep it up? But Holly Pond, on the other hand, only lost to Midfield, and that was still 36-30. I mean, it was really close.
Yeah, it was a tight game.
Yeah.
You know, they beat Hansville 16-6. To me, well, I've got two different scores on Hansville, so both of them are fairly close, 22-6 and 16-6. To me, that's more worrisome than anything else. Mm-hmm. When you got a team like Pennington that went down and played Hansville and absolutely blew them out of the water,
yep, absolutely,
and then you put three touchdowns up on that same team, mm-hmm, that's a little bit worrisome.
Yep.
Now, let me ask you guys something, though. Since we're talking about Fultondale, Midfield, and teams like that, these are recent teams that have been added to that region.
Yeah.
With these have these teams like Vinemont, Pennington, Holly Pond, and Hansville, which have not really kind of been the strong teams they have been since maybe 2010, since we have seen a strong Hansville team. How do you think that really plays out to these players here in Coleman County? They're facing these Jefferson County teams and larger city schools that are kind of just known for turning out players that are going to play at Alabama, Auburn,
right,
big schools.
Short term, I think they struggle. Long term, I think they adapt and they become better.
They become stronger programs for sure. But you know, in the interim, they're really struggling. And we talk week to week about momentum and morale for football teams, and that has a big play in it. I remember we bumped up to on the old system. I say we when I was still in high school. Locust Fort bumped up to 4A for a little while before these new revisions a couple of years ago went through, and it killed us. I mean, we were facing schools that were on the edge of being 5A, while we were just barely on the edge of dropping back to 3A, and we just struggled. And so it was almost the thought, it's like, why even bother? You know, we counted the county games where we went and fought, you know, people that we grew up with that were more important. We thought that was always more important.
And I think the mentality is there,
yeah,
still in Coleman County, that these Vinemont Hansvilles, these Hansville Holly Ponds, Holly Pond Vinemont games are your big games. Even these Vinemont Good Hopes, even they're not in the same region anymore. These West Point Colemans, if they ever play again, kind of, you know, the county to county matchup there.
Yeah. Well, you know, Dylan, I've only been following prep football since coming back to Alabama for about the last year and a half. Mm-hmm. I have to say, when I started seeing, like, Fultondale being the same region, you know, with teams like Holly Pond, it surprised me. I was a little bit shocked by that, because I would think they would put, you know, have a region around Birmingham for teams like that, because you have a lot of schools down there.
Right.
Well, but the problem with that is your Jefferson County or your Metro Birmingham schools are so much larger.
Right.
You know, in that area, in Shelby County and Jefferson County, there probably are less than 5 to 6, 3 or 4A schools. You're going to have to get to your rural areas to get those. And it's a disadvantage. They've got so many. You know, you look at Holly Pond and Fultondale just as an example. Like you mentioned with Locust Fork, Holly Pond could be on the low end, barely being in the classification. Fultondale could be about to top out. There's so many more athletes or students to pick from.
Yep. Right.
And Fultondale's definitely that way. You don't have to take a very long trip down 65 just to drive through that town, and you realize just how big of a of a population density is down in Fulton.
And then you drive through Holly Pond with our one red light.
One red light, yeah. Hey, no, Locust Fork graduate, we don't have a stop sign, we don't have a red light, nothing like that, right?
But you got a Burger King being built.
Hey, right there across from the Jack's that's been there forever.
Ever.
Right,
yep.
Right, so we're getting there. But
well, think about this, Josh. Me and you probably could go back and forth on teams like this. Like when you were at Locust Fork, you can remember some of the teams that your school played versus teams that I remember Vimont playing when I was there, like the Carbon Hills and the Walker County teams at Oakman, stuff like that.
Yeah, I know.
And it's like they've kind of gone on the wayside now since these new regions have been drawn up, and now we're seeing these Fultondales and Midfields and all these other Jefferson County schools.
If you play baseball or if you play basketball, you still see those county teams. And you know, that was what was important to us, like I said, because it was bragging rights, you know. When we jumped up to 4A, I remember Tarrant was put into our division at the time, and we'd go down there, and it was so completely different than anything we had. Now, did we grow as a team because of it? Oh yeah, but were we scared to death because of it? Yeah, that too.
Yeah.
But I remember thinking, we're going to Tarrant, we're just gonna play. Well, in all honesty, I knew I was gonna get some seat time or not seat time. I was gonna get some playing time in that game, because I knew that they would just wipe the floor with us, right? But it was tough for sure. And then what they should have done the past couple of years when they changed the classifications again, they should have just added even more than they did. They just should have broke these off into far smaller groups, right? That's my opinion.
What do you think? There's a different region in the state that maybe these Jefferson County teams should look at for picking from their region? Do you think the travel times affects any of these players at all?
I really do.
Oh, yeah.
It always did for us on basketball. The longer I was in the bus, the worse it was. You know, I could play the best at home, not because I was comfortable with the gym, but just because I didn't have to linger on it for too long.
Right. I can remember taking a bus ride to Russellville in high school and thinking that, okay, this is horrible, because, like, we were in that bus, it seemed like, for an hour and a half, 2 hours.
Yeah.
You know, and then when you go to college, all of a sudden you're taking 2-, 3-, 4-hour bus rides. You know, it can throw you off your game. And as a player, you know, to the people in this room that have played before, the best weapon you have is what's between your ears. When you get your mind right, then your body follows. And if something throws you out of your sink, if it throws you out of your routine, you know, that's why the teams that are playing at home always have a little bit of an edge in my mind, unless they're just hopelessly outmatched. In an even up ball game, somebody who's playing at home, they got an edge.
Absolutely. The same reason the guy wears the same pair of socks week in and week out.
Yeah, really. Don't wash them.
Yeah.
But
in all honesty,
you see a lot of like pro sports and college level sports players have headphones in, you know, walking here, walking there, getting ready. Pretty much all the way to the point they step on the field or step on the court of some sort, they're trying to stay in their head and not paying attention to what's going around, because that'll offset you so heavily. So you mentioned Russellville. Let's talk about the Russellville Golden Tigers at West Point this week.
Another good game.
Yeah, another regional game. I'll go ahead and start. I picked Russellville just because the one – let's see. The undefeated record of Russellville, right? Because
I don't think West Point has ever played. Well, West Point's ever beat them,
right?
To my knowledge,
right.
Last time they played was 2015 in the playoffs. Is that right?
I don't know. I didn't go that far back with my research. I pretty much stayed with this season. But you know, Russellville steps in being undefeated, and West Point was like that for 2 weeks, and I think that really hurt them losing to Hamilton. We were at that game, and I think they really had some pride going into that one.
Would you say this is a make or break game for West Point?
Yeah, they're on a 2 week losing streak.
Yeah,
and Lawrence County last week, 43-7 was the loss.
And I talked to some people that are friends of mine that I work with that are students at West Point last week, Saturday morning actually, because you know we were at Cold Springs, of course. We were just reading the scores off on the sideline like usual, and we were just astonished that we saw this large deficit to Lawrence County.
Oh, all of us were shocked.
The Lawrence County, and the same thing you'll see in Russellville that we've talked about with Fultondale and Holly Pond, is going to be speed.
Exactly. Mm-hmm. I've personally, I know a lot of former Lawrence County players. One of them was a broadcaster with us last year, Nick McCarley, one of their kickers. And there's something that they've got going on up in Moulton up in the Shoals, too.
Right.
As you would know, Tommy, he's... Mm-hmm. That's an area you know a lot about, especially with the prep sports up there.
The program, you know, we mentioned Russellville coming to West Point undefeated. Russellville's program is coming back. Mm-hmm. For years, when Perry Swindle was at Russellville, Russellville was the place to be in the Shoals.
Yep.
When John Mothershed was at Deschler, Deschler was the place to be in the Shoals. Now, with Scott Basden at Muscle Shoals is the place to be, and you've seen Deschler drop, and you've seen Russellville drop. Russellville's having a resurgence now in that region, but for years, Muscle Shoals was the place to be. They've got a brand new stadium facility there, an indoor practice field. Deschler now, which is a 4A high school team, has an indoor practice facility.
That's crazy.
They took over a National Guard armory, which is right adjacent to their stadium in a school.
Right.
One of the old domes, like that's Coleman Coliseum. Cool. And it was right there close, so the armory shut down, and they just took it over as an indoor practice facility.
Welcome to Alabama football.
Yeah, really.
You know, that's what I've got to say about that.
Isn't there a team in Walker County that has an indoor facility as well?
Or? I know Hartsville does because they had one when I went to school there.
If it brings the money, then by all means.
And Jasper went through a Title IX. They have all new facilities over there, which are just immaculate. But I'm not sure, Dylan, if it did include an indoor or not.
Indoor. But those were the three wins for Russellville so far. It's Deschler and then Cordner and then Hayden. And the only blemish on that 3-0 record for them is Hayden, because Hayden's another one of those that has wound, because they're so close to 65, they wound up with such an amount of kids, but not a very big sports program. And it'll catch up in a couple of years
They're a huge bedroom community. They've always been the largest school in Blount County. Mm-hmm. They just have never been able to find the athletes to come out and play.
And so they didn't – I mean, they beat them pretty bad, but they didn't run away with it like they should have. So that's the only thing in the back of my mind that makes me think that maybe West Point can find some type of silver lining to this one, because otherwise you're looking at this team and thinking, no.
They're going to have to throw the ball because I guarantee you Russell is going to key on Pearsall. Mm-hmm. And he's not going to have his 225 yards.
No.
If he does have 200 yards – West Point wins the game.
Yeah, sure. Easily.
To me, I think if he scores three times, West Point wins.
Yeah.
But I don't see that happening. I think Russellville takes it. I think it's going to be close. I think it'll be a heartbreaker for West Point. I think it'll be within one score. Mm-hmm. But I think Russellville comes out on top.
One score is a good call, but I'm with you. So two more. Were you going to add one more
thing? No, I was thinking along those lines.
Yeah.
There may only be Cold Springs will be the exception. There may only be one Kelman County team that wins this week, and that's going to be the winner of Hansville and Vinemont. But then I haven't seen Cold Springs schedule.
Cold Springs, and they will go to Aliceville.
So that's we've got.
There may
only
be one Kelman County team that wins
here, and we've got two more games covered. That one being Cold Springs at Aliceville, the Yellow Jackets over there. The Eagles come off another win. Last week we covered that one. So they're obviously looking to gain that 5-0, which is huge. I have no idea where Aliceville is.
It's in Pickens, west of Utah. Mm-hmm.
So you're looking at another one of those. Is the bus ride going to mess with their head at all?
But that's a long ride
from,
there.
From Cold Springs, it's a 2-hour haul.
Yeah, and that's huge because they seem to be on it last week for sure. But will that affect it? Yellow Jackets 2-1 on the season so far. They will definitely challenge the team. As both of the wins come from region matchups, Tarrant and Soligent, the only loss being to the rival school, Gordo. Cold Springs doing exceptionally well so far this season, winning each game by at least a score. So I was pretty impressed with that, looking back at those.
I remember from doing the preparation for the Cold Springs game last week, Aliceville was at the top with Cold Springs mm-hmm. of their region.
Yes.
So what you're looking at is the two teams tied for the lead in the region now are going head-to-head. Mm-hmm. And I liked that Cold Springs team last week. I liked what I saw. Mm-hmm. I like hard-nosed 3 yards in a cloud of dust football. I guess I'm getting old. But I'm going to pick Cold Springs.
Yeah, I'm with you. You're just I don't know what you've got in your heart if you don't root for Cold Springs on this one. Because
right.
they've got to go all the way over there and then try to bring home, you know, a 5-0. So you've got to root for Cold Springs for sure.
And I've got Cold Springs on that one too, honestly.
Good.
I've got to stick with it. One more game I've got here for the Coleman County teams, and then one more for the outside Coleman County teams,
okay.
so to speak. Priceville at Fairview.
Right. Another region game there. So,
if you look at what Good Hope and Priceville went after, you know, with how that ended, Good Hope obviously not the same team as Fairview. Fairview's had their struggles.
Three losses in 4 weeks.
Yeah, so. We saw them go to Hansville and lose that one. That was a close one.
Mm-hmm.
Or did they win that one? I don't remember.
No, they won. They won over Hansville, but they lost to West Point, DAR, and St. John Paul.
And that was a close one at one point. We were watching that one. That came close for Fairview, had that in the bag for a while in that late third, fourth quarter.
Yep. But St. John Paul has got their quarterback.
They've got a great player. So.
Yeah. Their quarterback is phenomenal.
And Priceville's had its struggles this year. I mean, 0-3, I believe, is the record.
Yeah.
You know, that's a hard pick. Who's your pick on that one, Dylan?
I want to stay with Coleman County. I want to say Fairview gets the win on that one.
Yeah.
At home, too. I want to say Fairview at home.
I did this early this morning, and so I don't always remember all of my thoughts when I typed it, but I typed it, and I said, Fairview probably close, unfortunately. So, but I also really enjoy these games because we talked earlier in the broadcast, these are probably these are two teams that are in that mindset or getting close to that mindset. Like, we have nothing to lose. Like, we've got to find traction somewhere.
Right.
Let's do normally we wouldn't do on the field. Right. So
I would have to go with Fairview in that as well. How about you, Tommy?
I think it'll being at home, Priceville is struggling. Coach Redding, those guys are due.
So, yes.
Yeah.
Well, one more thing before we finish this show out here tonight. I had something prepared that I saw last night, and I think we all have heard about the news. Coleman Today founder Tim Collins passing away recently.
Yeah.
And this is a man that we saw on the sidelines a lot at these games.
Right.
Who put in a lot of hard work, not just for news, but also for sports in Coleman County. Coleman Today doing a lot of video work and a lot of score updates. We saw him at the opening game against West Point and Fairview. He was there.
You would see him at middle school games, at Pee Wee games. Everything Tim did was for the community.
Yes.
Nothing was ever about self. And my heart breaks for you, Tiffany, and all the family. He will be missed. Coleman County will not be the same. Coleman Today will never be the same, no matter who takes it over or does it, anything with it, because he was everywhere all the time.
Well, I didn't know him that long. I met him at a concert that he was taking mm-hmm. pictures at. And as I got to know the man, this is somebody who profoundly affected his community. You know, he will be missed. You know, my thoughts and prayers are with his family. But at the same time, when you look at a man who lived well, you know, that's something to be proud of. He touched a lot of lives. And you really can't say much more on the good side about somebody than that. Yeah. You know, he left this place better than he found it.
Right. And he enjoyed doing it the whole time.
Yes.
Right.
And he made friends, whether it was on the football field with players or whether it was on the scene of a wreck that he
right.
was taking, making a news story about, as he made friends with many officers, many EMTs and firefighters, and, you know, a lot of the work that he did will never be forgotten in this town.
Right.
Absolutely. But kind of a somber note to end on here. But
and I think that's something we should touch on, of course, when we're talking about, you know, it's not necessarily the most direct thing to sports, but this is somebody you saw on the sidelines with you.
Sure.
This is someone you saw out there, and especially in the media community, this is somebody that's a brother to us.
Well, and also, You know, this is somebody who was, he kind of had his finger on the pulse of our entire community. You know, everywhere you went, you saw him. If it was at a concert or, like you said, right, at a Pee Wee football game, he was there. And every time that I was around him, he always had a kind word, and he was always just as nice as he could be. You know, a very impressive man, and he will be missed.
And thoughts and prayers to his family, and he will be missed dearly. And that will conclude our show this week. Mm-hmm. Join us again Friday for Good Hope and Oak Grove from James Schaible Stadium in Good Hope, Alabama, as Coach Scott's team looks to go 5-0, could they?
Could be.
Could be. It'd be an interesting one to see. Love to have you there. 7 o'clock kickoff, 6:40 pregame. Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. And that'll do it for us. Join us again next Tuesday, 5 to 6, for Prep Sports Live with the usual crew. And Understanding the Law coming up next with Big D and Danielle and local attorney Melvin Hastings.
And folks around the county that know sports, they don't lock the door. Anybody can walk in and get on the show, so come on next Tuesday.
Yeah, despite our best efforts. Tommy got in here. But
come on through. If you're somebody in the media or you know something about sports in the community, give us a reach out to us, studio@live95coleman.com. If not, reach us on Facebook. We'll see you there, and see you tune in for Friday Night Live, Oak Grove at Good Hope.
Live 95 is Coleman's independent radio. And now it's time to check in on our regional news from the Alabama Radio Network.
In the ARN News Center, I'm Angie Norvell. Jefferson County Coroner's Office looking for the family of a woman found dead in her home on Thomason Avenue in Tarrant. 67-year-old Patricia Renfro Walker found by her landlord who went to check on her. No foul play suspected.